You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thanks for downloading the Sun Ranto Show. For early and ad-free access to the Sun Ranto Show, including a ton of great perks and our Discord server, please subscribe at patreon.com/sunranto for as little as $1 a month. There are free trial memberships available. patreon.com/sunranto. Don't make me tell you again.
Cubby blue blood flowing through our veins. Sitting in the bleachers in the rain. We shed a million tears and drank as many old style beers out at the game. Let's go, Cubby Sun Ranto. Sun Ranto. Sun Ranto and the lovable loser. Sun Ranto. Sun Ranto. Sun Ranto and the lovable losers. Sun Ranto.
Sun Ranto!
Welcome to the Sun Ranto Show, brought to you by Bleacher Bunch Productions on the Fans First Network and all of the wonderful shows that are now on the Bleacher Bunch feed with us, Cup of Cubby Blue, Cubs PS Plus podcast, and the Sun Ranto Show. That's us, baby. And and also our 110 Patreon supporters, you do so much for us. And so we're giving it back to you tonight, along with Blake Beard's tickets, the best tickets you can buy at the Blake Beard on Twitter, right down the third baseline. Boy, are those some good seats. And also Lawrence at Rogue Wave Creative for all your branding and graphic design needs, a proud sponsor of the Sun Ranto Show. And hey, how's everybody? IFG, what's going on? Yeah, I love your Shohei shirt. That's incredible.
I have to, you know what? I just need to keep bringing these vibes as much as possible. I'm just like, I'm accepting the blessing already. You know what I mean? We just have to do what we can to manifest.
And everybody loves it. It's super popular in the chat.
I love it. It's crazy. It's bananas.
For the podcast listeners, how many? I can see personally at least 43 Ohtani heads, like on one shirt, 43 Ohtani heads, and back fronts. I mean, if
that's how many home runs he's going to hit for us.
Yeah, is that one head for each home run he hit 2 years ago? So that's incredible. And are you drinking anything magical today?
Yeah, so today I have from Future Primitive Brewing here in Seattle, I have Their Body, Their Choice. It's a nice little IPA, and like a lot of the beers that I drink, it benefits something. So this one benefits the National Abortion Fund and the Seattle Access Walk.
Nice.
What are you drinking, Cotton? Oh, yeah, Michael Cotton's here. Yeah, you heard him screaming earlier. He's not wearing a cool shirt. Your shirt is blue.
Yeah, I just have a basic blue shirt. But if you'll notice, I am wearing a visor because I got my hair cut. And for the first time in like 4 years, my hair is just not long. Like, my hair has been able to touch my chin most of the last 4 years. So I was like, oh, maybe I'll grab the visor today because it doesn't just look like my head's exploding.
Speaking of head exploding, look at IFG's beer. That's a nice pour.
That is a very nice pour. Yes. I am actually drinking Coors Edge. That is the non-alcoholic beer. And I have to assume it's called Edge because it's kind of like edging, in that you're only doing part of what you're supposed to be doing here, and you never quite get to the part you were looking for.
Yeah, well, I think you have to be on the edge of reality to enjoy that beer. To be, I mean, it doesn't seem like it would be very good. I mean, Coors, regular Coors tastes like crap. Like, remove the alcohol, might be better, actually.
I like Coors Banquet beer. And in fact, game 7 of the World Series, I drank a 12-pack of Coors Banquet beer during that game.
Cubs won that game.
They did. They did. Some people forget, and you would think after 12 beers, I would have forgotten. But I didn't.
I would also like to mention that Seth Kennedy is going to be along later. We might have screwed up the time here because I told him, I'm like, come at 9 o'clock, but that means maybe his 9 o'clock. And so, because he's already in the green room. I don't know if he's just enjoying hanging out. But he says hashtag chance in the chat right now, which is what everybody should be doing, because you could win a Frank Chance postcard sent to you by me with a message of love and doom. And we're going to be giving away that bag of goodies, baseball cards, giveaway, like all sorts of stadium giveaways, all sorts of fun stuff in the bag of goodies.
Oh, for
the ultimate chance winner.
He says he's just watching the show from the green room. He wants up to date. But
Danny, wings.
So we all know you're drinking your matcha, your
mate. I got mate.
Mate, which is
benefits nobody but me.
Sweeping the nation now. It's starting to catch on. But I want to know about the hat you're wearing, because I don't think I've seen that hat before. It's like a gold. Is that the 84 Bear?
Yeah, I think so. I never know these things offhand, but yeah, check that sucker out. I think that's the
That's the
69 Bear,
the 6970 Bear, but it's
yeah, it's golden. I forget when I got this hat. It's pretty old. You know, I got it on suicide sale over at Sports Corner, right there on the corner of Addison and Clark. It's really kitty corner. They've got a 24-hour cam of the marquee, a marquee cam. But I got I only buy things on sale. And so they had a pile of these things. They were trying to clear some inventory. I went in there. They had them for like 10, 12 bucks. And I called up Crawley. I'm like, Crawley, check out these hats. He went in there like the next day and got himself one too. So when he was on the show.
I like that hat a lot, and I just hadn't seen it.
You hadn't seen it in a while. I used to wear it quite a bit. I think my head has grown somehow because it's tighter than I remember it. And I'm like, is my brain getting larger? It makes sense because I'm getting smarter.
It's all the steroids. It's all the steroids.
Exactly. Is that what happens? Anyway, yeah, hashtag chance in the chat if you haven't done it. Robert's doing it. Jerry's doing it. Seth already did it. Captain Charisma has hashtag chance in the chat. And thank you for being here with us tonight. Real quick, I just want to announce that for our Patreon people, if you're not one, you should be. Patreon.com/Sunranto. It's $1 a month. That's all you got to pay. And you can be part of our special Ranter Club, which comes with Discord privileges. And I made a lot of changes over there. Even if you're not a super Ranter Patreon supporter, there's some more changes over there. So just check us out. I've been sharing it in our Facebook page. We still have the Facebook Sun Ranto Ranchers. We want to hang out with you because it's our only way of communicating with you, our listeners, our watchers, and we love you. So,
and people seem to really like the Discord. And one of the big things that they like is that they can't get kicked out of it. Facebook cannot come along and pop you out of the Discord for some reason.
We got all sorts of fun categories over there. We're talking about the hot stove, and that's open to everybody, by the way. You don't have to be a super ranter to do that. So anyway, just go find us over there, check it out. And we'll also be there tonight after the show, hanging out with you. Just love the fellowship. But there's some great news, and there's a reason IFG's wearing the shirt that she's wearing tonight, and that's because it really feels like it's not just hopeful BS hyperbole that we might get Shohei Ohtani. The odds are high. Fox,
I'm so excited.
MLB tweeted this out. I mean, besides the Dodgers at +110, the Cubs come in at +350 with the Giants in third at +650. These are teams that are willing to spend money and also that are on Shohei Ohtani's shortlist. So, like, I don't think I could overstate how much this would mean to us. And
okay, hold on. put that back up there. No, let me. Okay, so these are betting odds, and they've got the Dodgers at the top at +110, and Cubs are second at +350, Giants third at +650. So if we're talking betting, $100. If you bet the Cubs and he goes to the Cubs, you'll get $350 off of that bet. If you bet the Dodgers, you'll only get $110 off of that $100 bet. That's a huge gap. I feel like I'm all for getting excited, but that's a very big gap between the Dodgers and the Cubs.
Dodgers is the most boring team the dude could go to.
It's literally the most boring possible option.
I think you said that last week, actually, IFG.
It really is. He's going to – if you want the legend of Shohei Ohtani to fade into the background around a bunch of chokers who have nothing going for them and even their own fans don't like being at the games, what a waste that would be.
And he never changed.
The most boring uniform of all time and the most boring ballpark of all time that's empty until the fourth inning and starts clearing out in the seventh. Nobody wants that for Shohei.
It's the third oldest ballpark in the major leagues. Did you know
it's
that?
It's ugly.
LA. You got to deal with Mary Hart looking at your butt the whole time, sitting there in the first row. All these celebrities.
He deserves better. That's all I'm saying. He deserves beautiful, historic, federal landmark Wrigley Field. With his high school best friend, Seiya Suzuki.
The ghosts of all the Native Americans and Mexican, poor people who they literally just plowed under and then put concrete on.
You know what? Maybe we got to bring out the big guns. Should we start showing Shohei some documentaries about Chavez Ravine when they look at all the horrible things that happened in that valley to the Mexican people that lived there for generation after generation just to build a ballpark that you can't even get in to see a game at until the fourth inning because the traffic is so freaking terrible and you can't get out. You got to leave in the seventh. So you get 3 innings of baseball if you want to get home at any kind of decent hour or if you don't leave your house at 2 o'clock for a night game. Yeah, so it is the worst ballpark in the world. He doesn't need to deal with any of that stuff because, he probably helicopters in his $500 million contract. But he gets the lay, the dude's going to have the biggest contract in baseball, which makes you think that you don't get him because it's not something the Cubs are known for doing. But
guess what? They're going to do it this time.
It's not, and trust me, I'm laughing when I say this. It's not the money. It's the years. That's what they're afraid of.
You know what? I don't care. Pay him for 20 years. Pay him for 50 years. Pay him for 100 freaking years.
Make
him
Bobby
Iowa
O'Neal.
Cubs on the back end. I don't care how you do it. Just make it happen.
Terry agrees. Agree with IFG. Ohtani has already done SoCal. Come to Chicago. And that's the thing. It's just it's the same market. It's the freaking it's the worst part of the market where he's been. That's been a total flop. I mean, the Dodgers will probably make the postseason if they get Ohtani. They make the postseason anyway. But seriously, to get the top player, maybe to ever have lived on the Chicago Cubs, would be mind blowing because that's just not something that I think our fan base can wrap our heads around. Like, if he showed up on opening day in our uniform, I would still be like, am I dreaming?
Absolutely. A lot of people are. I bought Seiya Suzuki's uniform the second I knew what number to put on it. I have no idea what can I buy with Shohei's name, face, number. I'll buy an Ipe jersey. I don't care. Make it happen. Please spend my money, Cubs. Well, I'm not the only one. There are so many people who are going to be like, oh man, cannot wait to buy an Ohtani 17 Cubs jersey in every color.
Yeah, home, road, alternate.
I'll buy the Friday uniform. I don't care.
The Friday.
I like the uniform. I'll buy it.
Yeah, I mean, they really might pay his first year of salary just by the jerseys they sell in the first year alone. I mean, those jerseys are like anywhere between $200 and $400, if not more, depending on
those new Nike jerseys are expensive.
Yeah, well, I won't be one of the purchasers, I'll tell you that much. I'm finding my Juan Pierre, thank you very much.
Yeah, I'll have my Otani jersey. It'll be like some knockoff I get on the street down on the south side. They're making fun of the guy. I'm like,
you guys remember Mini Vish? Remember Mini Vish? The Mini U Darvish guy?
Yeah.
IFG, you weren't on the show, but did you ever hear about Mini Vish?
Is he like the Nichiro dude who dresses up as Ichiro, but he's not?
Yeah, instead he's doing Yu Darvish, and he was hanging out with us a little bit. He lives out in California, but I was thinking, like, that's the perfect next thing to do is Otani.
Instead of, like, you just need like a little short dude.
You missed it, IFG. One time we told everybody, it was right during the pandemic, so everybody was freaking out, and we decided, because I'm Facebook friends with Mini Vish. He's actually a stand-up comedian. He's a Yu Darvish impersonator, even though he's about 4 foot tall. Yeah, I got to introduce you to this guy. No, he's a really nice dude. So anyway.
I'll buy his jersey too. Let's go.
I'm like, he's got a jersey that says Mini Vish and everything. So I say to Mini Vish, I'm like, hey, everybody's freaking out about COVID. You want to come on the show? Gary Meyer says, I was so pissed when you all did that. all day long. Because everybody's sitting at home all day long. I'm like, We got an interview with Yu Darvish. And so I tell Mini Vish, who doesn't speak English that well at all, I'm like, will you come on the show and we're going to tell everybody you're Yu Darvish. Nobody will know the difference. Just wear some sunglasses or something like that. And it did it. And people, I mean, I don't think anybody believed us, but it was a good April Fool's joke. but it was funny.
It was one of the highlights of this show. Over the many years that we've been doing this, I thought that was a great deal.
Yeah. Oh, man. So anyhow, the Shohei Ohtani should be added to the 40-man roster. There is room. But I do want to put his numbers up just real quick, just to kind of show.
Just in case anybody's forgotten.
Yeah, I mean, this past year, first of all, he's only 28 years old. But this past year, he led the league with OBP with a 412. He led the league in homers with 44.
That's Barry Bonds type 412, right? Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. The OPS was over 1,000, 1,066, a 184 OPS plus. I mean, just an incredible year. And this is a year he got hurt. You know, it was his throwing arm, but still, he was hurt. He's, you know, except for 2020, that horrible year that we were just talking about when we interviewed Yu Darvish, that was his only off year where he didn't do well. He batted under 200, but it doesn't look like it's going to be. Other than that, it's like mostly been over 900, that OPS, and with his best year being last year. And it's just like, and then you also get the pitcher, maybe, in there. And here's a guy that before he got hurt at a 3.14 ERA. Last year he had a 2.33.
Yeah.
He had over 200 strikeouts in 2022. I mean, this might be the best player that ever existed.
Yeah. Absolutely. He could lay claim to that. He might have already laid claim to that. I mean,
who else if not him? I honestly think you put Babe Ruth in front of Shohei Ohtani, he immediately leaves the ballpark and go finds different kinds of drunk to become.
Yeah, the only way you put Babe Ruth over Shohei is the number of years that Babe Ruth played. But I mean, back then, like literally, he was easier to play for a long time. I mean, all those guys played for a long time, like. The fact that Shohei is, you know, been in the league for six, 7 years, and
he never had to face a player of color.
He had a whole career in Japan before that. I mean,
yeah, he might be the greatest. Babe Ruth, I guess. I don't even know if Babe Ruth is the best player. I don't even know if he's the second best player. Like, I'm pretty impressed by the stats and stuff, but like,
yeah.
you know, there are, you know, Willie Mays, for example, like might be up there. Like there are some, you know, maybe you could say something like Roberto Clemente, if he, you know, even though he did die, like cut short in his career still, like.
Sure. Barry Bonds.
There are other people that I think need to be in the conversation.
By the way, I looked up that OBP to see how it mashed up with Barry Bonds, and no, it's way below Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds has years where he was over 500 OBP.
Yeah, and
I believe Barry Bonds had more RBIs from his home runs alone than Kevin Biggio did in his entire career.
Oh my God.
Corey, or it's like one less or something.
Barry Bonds in 2004 had a 609 OBP.
Oh my God.
Oh, nice. That is.
that's ungodly. Well, I mean, he had a little help, you know, with the old inject shows. But
oh right, all the inject shows, and they're like, you know what we should do?
He had a little help from the bases are loaded. Better intentionally walk him.
Yeah,
right.
That was probably that year. I like what Mike Waller says from the Cubs PS Plus podcast. Said Babe changed the game single handedly, but in terms of great, he was phasing out pitching by the time he started hitting bombs. 100%. Yeah, I mean, Joe Ace is doing it all at the same time. He like goes out there, you know, throws a two hitter and then hits a home run for the next 3 days. You know, I mean, it's insane.
To be fair, Shohei Ohtani has changed the game.
Yeah,
I mean,
100%. They literally made up a rule for him.
He's the only pitcher that even hits.
Yeah,
anymore.
It seems insane to me that a pitcher would hit. I don't know why anybody would ever do that. It seems like something out of a sci-fi novel that your pitcher would be allowed to hit.
Weird.
But Joey Ohtani does it.
What I like even more is that he hits so well that they made a rule saying that when you pull him from the game as a pitcher, he still gets to stay in as a hitter.
Yeah, it's like the Ohtani rule. Yeah, he's so good that you need to
we need to just let him be two people.
Which is why the Cubs should get him. You know,
Shohei Ohtani, listen to your manager.
It is time
to be a Cub.
I agree. I'm starting to feel a little bit better about things. I mean, by the way, now I know we've all like kind of ragged on Craig Counsell's looks over the years, but did he not look kind of handsome?
That is a handsome man right there.
Yeah, he looks a lot more handsome than that.
Look at what the pinstripes do for him, though.
His hair looks good too. I mean, yeah, uh-huh.
You got a manager with hair.
I am not following you guys. I am not with you on this.
Just squint.
I'm sorry.
Squint and see.
Hold on. Let me help. Maybe this will help.
There you go. There's an angle for you.
Player
development does not stop when you get to the big leagues, he says.
He is like a character. He's a character actor. He's like the guy that's in like every movie, but he's never even like third on the sheet. Like, but he's always in the movies, and he's somebody's friend, or he's like a, you know, the
or he's like criminal, he's like the manager of the team that goes on to win the World Series.
Right. Exactly.
when you have somebody really handsome in the designated hitter spot, like a Shohei Ohtani, for example.
Carrie says he's
from Rookie of the Year. That was like the crazy bullpen coach or whatever. Daniel, somebody in the chat will probably have it, but he totally reminds me. He could be that guy.
Lisa says his face is not annoying to look at anymore. Carrie says he looks a lot better without a hat. And Artie says he looks like Jim Carrey's stunt double.
So, oh, there we go. I like Jim Carrey's stunt double. I'll see that.
I also want to one more thing about Shohei is that Robert Sanchez says Shohei may never pitch again.
Oh, ye of little faith.
Yeah. I heard that.
If anyone is going to come back and pitch again, it's that dude.
Yeah, I mean, the bat alone you take, but maybe you get it at a bit of a discount too because of that possibility. Like, he was a $500 million player when he was coming as a double threat there, but I don't know. I mean, he's still going to get paid more than anybody ever, but still.
Terry E. says in the chat, listen, Cotton, Craig Council is only 12 Coors Banquet beers away from looking like Tom Brady.
Exactly.
Tom Brady.
I love this one. I love this
either.
One.
Tim, I mean, he DeHate might have it one says, time, but come on.
This is what we're talking about here. Tim goes, he looks like he knows how to fold a fitted sheet.
I was at the laundromat the other day, and this woman and this young man that works there, where he was learning how to fold a fitted sheet from her. And she was showing him, and I was like, I feel like I should be paying for this knowledge. Like, I'm watching. I'm like, do you guys mind if I video this? Because there's no way I'm going to remember.
I learned how to fold a fitted sheet one time. And, I mean, I know exactly how to do it. I still can't fucking do it. I have tried so many times. I know that you got to, like, kind of tuck it and just grab the other. It doesn't come out right.
One of my first jobs, I worked as a laundry attendant and a housekeeper at an assisted living facility, like a convalescent home. So I've probably folded 8 million food sheets in my life. I'll show you how to do it.
Oh, no.
So I've one sitting here like, whoosh, 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 whoosh.
I've watched the videos. I've seen how to do it. And for some reason, I can't do it. It just when I think I got it, it like, poofs out.
The whole thing falls apart. You're like, I don't know where the top is. Yeah. So I hate to get off the greatest player that ever lived, but we got some other players on the Cubs that we should talk about because there were a few moves that the Cubs made. Luis Vasquez, now on the 40-man roster. Check out that impressive minor league career. He's been with the Cubs since he was 17 years old, and he's now 23.
Yeah. This was pretty interesting. So, I mean, I don't really clock the prospects as much as some people. But one guy that really does is Greg Huss. And he was on the Cubs PS Plus podcast, part of the Bleacher Bunch Network. So go check that out. He started talking about these guys. And he is all over this. He watches all of it. And he was like, I couldn't believe they put three guys out of the minor leagues on the 40-man roster.
And this guy, plus this guy, plus Luis Vasquez, because this isn't one of the three guys. So he's on the 40-man now, and I don't know about this. I mean, I'm just wondering what this move means. Maybe it doesn't mean anything, but he's basically a glove-first minor league infielder. Kind of was wondering, like, when you've got Nick Madrigal's and Miles Mastroboni's is to do that kind of thing, and you've got, of course, Dansby and Nico, then what are we doing with Luis here? I mean, even if he's good, I'm not sure what – if they didn't want to lose him in the Rule 5, maybe is what it is. I don't know if he was up for that.
I mean, yeah. this is kind of like the time of year where they do that sort of thing, but –
might be procedural. I don't know. And if anybody sheds any light as to why we'd want to care about Luis Vasquez being
but here's the thing, if you put him on the 40 man right now, I like because if somebody takes them on the you know,
I just don't know that that's
rule
the case.
Five, then they have to keep him on their, you know,
on their 40 man roster, right?
For the whole for the whole year. So do we have to do that as well?
No.
Okay.
No, but he can be on our 40 man, which is just like a, you know, which takes up a 40 man spot, which can you imagine? We're like, we didn't want to lose Luis Vasquez, so we couldn't add Otani to the 40 man.
Well, I don't think that's going to be the trouble. I think they'll find a space for that one.
So these guys that were also added to the 40 man, we'll go through them real quick because they don't really matter. Well, they might matter this year. We don't know. But there's all young pitchers. And this is from Bleacher Nation. So I'm totally ripping all this off from them. Michael Arias, 21 years old, took off this year with a combination of a fastball that has reached the upper 90s and a changeup that is probably big league ready at this moment. And it's called a silly good pitch. And he could start the year off at AA. Anyway, I'll put his numbers up so you could take a look at it. He was in A-ball last year, had a went to high A, didn't go as well as it did in low A. I don't know what you're really looking at with these numbers, but, you know, overall he had a 12.2 strikeouts per nine, which you'll take every day of the week, but he also had 11 walks per nine.
Ooh.
Oh, no, that was the year before. Sorry. 5.6 walks per nine. That's still a lot.
That's still a lot. It's not 11, but it's a lot.
So it seems like one of those like high end arms that he touches it's got the velocity and stuff. And
you know what? It's easier to teach somebody who can throw hard where to put it than it is to teach somebody who can't throw hard to throw way harder. So who knows? It's fun.
Right.
I think it's fun. I think it's fun to have guys who throw hard because throwing hard is objectively better than not doing that.
Yeah, and you never know what's going to happen in a season. We saw you're always going to need pitching. You never know if you're going to end up seeing these guys because you just needed it. It's nice to have some arms stockpiled.
Well, and we just lost like Estrada, right? So,
yeah,
we just lost Estrada. I thought we lost somebody else too.
By the way, I have Googled Michael Arias 3 times, and each time I've gotten different Michael Ariases. Then, unfortunately, it's okay. Finally, we got to ours. He's a right-hander. That's what I was trying to understand. I was like, well, this one's a painter. This one's a drummer.
Cool. And while if you're listening to this and you're like, I would actually like to know something about Michael Arias, like I said, go listen to Greg and Mike talk about these guys, because they talk all about them and explain what it is we're not. We're telling you how many Ariases you can find on the internet.
We're telling you that there's another guy with the same name who plays drums. So, and then there's Porter Hodge, and this also from Bleacher Nation. I just screenshotted their stuff. He's 22, and Michael Arias, by the way, his birthday is today. So happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Michael Arias.
He's 22 today. Porter Hodge already is 22. He did not do well at AA this year, but he got a lot of strikeouts, and he's got a nasty cutter slider. And so he's got the stuff that they like. He's got the right stuff. Porter Hodge is a name that I expect to find in
a Charles Dickens novel.
And then we went to Porter Hodge to see if we can borrow 3 frumpkins from him and find his nice meat pies. So here's Porter Hodge's numbers. And Bleacher Nation was correct. He had a 5.13 ERA at AA. At single A, it was a much more respectable 3, where he pitched 69 innings.
Nice.
He had 11 throughout the year, because he saw time at 3 different levels: South Bend, Myrtle Beach, and Tennessee. So overall, no, wait, that's wrong. That was 2022. Last year was 2023. He was just in Tennessee last year. 11.5 strikeouts and 5.5 walks. Still kind of high.
Yeah, that's a little concerning. Both these guys are over 5 walks per 9, but I don't know. I guess to be fair, the umpires in the big league level are bad and they don't have like challenge calls or anything. So that might help them. They might be better at the big league level.
And then the last guy is also got a good name, Bailey Horn. He's a little older.
That's an old Western novel by Louis L'Amour.
Yeah, Bailey Horn. Bailey Horn on the range. 25 years old. He is a lefty, so that's nice. I didn't know that we could have one of those. Didn't know that was possible.
I thought that was illegal.
Here we are. Anyway, he was mostly at AAA and never locked in his command enough to break out, according to Bleacher Nation. And here's his numbers, screenshotted from Baseball Reference. And he had, between two teams, 11.3 strikeouts and just about 5 strikeouts, 5 walks per inning, sorry. So still, the high walks, high Ks. But, you know, when you're looking for the swing and miss, I mean, I don't know if they swing and miss at it if you're a major league player, but if you're looking for it, we seem to have it at the at the high levels of our minor leagues, and these guys were the ones they protected.
It's great. Yeah. I mean, they've got a lot of swing and miss. That's great. They've also got a lot of throw and miss, and that's a problem.
Yeah, throw and miss. Yeah, throw and miss the strike zone. Yeah, but that's fine as long as the guy swing at it.
Right. Jake Arrieta won a Cy Young that way.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I don't know what to make of all of that, but making these little moves, and it's kind of interesting, you know, that it made me look up those pitchers, and I really did enjoy listening to Greg and Mike talk about it on Cubs PS Plus. And so that just, it's good. Great to have those guys. We're so lucky as Cubs fans. I always say it, but to have so many people watching the team and interested in different aspects of the team.
Absolutely.
Very cool. So let's take a quick break. We're going to play a little commercial for Patreon. You please become a Patreon member. In fact, ask for it for Christmas. It's a $12 Christmas gift that your child can buy you.
Gary E makes a really good point here. It gets the feeling we're trying to protect some of these pitchers that Craig Breslow may try to grab in the Rule 5 draft. And that actually makes a ton of sense, seeing as Craig Breslow knows all of our pitchers and who might be good or whatever.
So. Yeah, cue all the guys that we drafted 2 years ago on the Red Sox in a year.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we'll be right back. Hashtag chance in the chat and patreon.com/sunranto.
All over Chicagoland, there are thirsty, frazzled, overworked Cubs podcasters who are struggling to survive one more baseball season in the dog-eat-dog world of unpaid content creation. But it doesn't have to be this way. You can make a difference. Become a super ranter at patreon.com/sunranto, where your support ensures that poor, sad, pathetic, ugly, loser Cubs podcasters can pay for tickets and beer, and in turn, line the pockets of the baseball oligarch Ricketts family. Just $1 a month can buy a scorecard. $5 a month can pay for guitar strings to write a Cubs song. And $10 a month almost buys one beer at Wrigley Field. Cubs content creators are the lowest pieces of pond scum garbage that slither over the face of this planet. But super ranters help them get drunk and screw off at baseball games. What do you get out of it? The Sun Ranto Show, delivered to your podcatcher without stupid advertisements like the one you're seeing and hearing right now. Plus, at other Super Ranter levels, you can get Cubs music, access to private Sun Ranto pages, the Ranter calendar, and special thanks and Ranter recognition in our live broadcasts, plus eligibility for monthly prizes. What does Sun Ranto get out of it? Your money. For tickets and beer, go to patreon.com/sunranto. That's patreon.com/sunranto. And become a Super Ranter today.
We are back, and we're going to talk a little bit about Project Warning Track. We have contestants for Project Warning Track.
I'm so excited.
Two of them are in this show right now, kind of. Well, Michael, you're not really doing it. Your wife's going to do we got this sketch of the Bleacher Bum Bag,
so
which I think we should sell at Bleacher Bum Band shows.
Yeah, well, I mean, unfortunately, my wife will be working really hard just to get one of these made. So, I mean, I don't know.
Maybe we can sell the pattern afterward or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Patent it. And then IFG, you're going to make this what I call the Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat coat, because it's very but it looks like this when it's on a medieval court king, queen action. Oh, yeah. But this, there it is as a Christopher Morel jersey. And if you don't know what we're talking about, Lawrence from Rogue Wave Creative, he accidentally bought four 5XL jerseys, and they're just absolutely humongous. And so we're doing a little fashion design competition amongst a few of us. So Michael's wife is making one. IFG's going to make something out of one of these jerseys. And Also, Artie Boucher, he is going to be a contestant too. We're just going to take his word for it that he has an idea. He just needs to sketch it out. So, Artie, if you just do it real quick and text it to me, I'll bring it on the show. We could see what your idea looks like, even if it's a terrible sketch. In fact, that might even be more entertaining to us right now. And then Jeff at Cubs Managed Magic, number one of our Patreon peeps, he says, okay, Mrs. Cubs Managed Magic number is on the case. And she's going to make this dress. Now, do you know what the name is? It looks like it's a shirt and a dress, or a shirt that becomes a dress.
Yeah, so this is the example on here is taking a men's button-down shirt and turning it into this nice little ruche, you know, this nice little dress with a nice ruffled hem and a little belt. I think this would be a lovely thing to wear to a game, you know, going to a nice spring game in the bleachers. You got your nice, pretty, like, Cody Bellinger, Chicago Cubs dress with a little ruffled hem. That would be so cute.
Yeah, so we have our contestants, and so we're gonna be doing updates, and I'm going to be Tim Gunn, and I'm going to say things like, make it work, contestants. So what's going on with the upside down morale? Is that going to turn, you know, I'll say things like, I'll be all bitchy and it's going to be incredible. And Michael Cotton, you are our resident Heidi Klum. So
absolutely.
You're on a strict diet of no food,
which is why I'm drinking diet beer. So I need to do a lot of work in that.
So I'm excited. I mean, we have pretty much all the holidays, you know, going on right now, but we don't really have too much. What's our timeline? Do we know? We're just kind of making this up.
We'll make it up as we go along. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
How about by the first day of spring training? Like, we'll have our fall fashion line or our spring fashion line.
I like that idea. Give us some time to do it.
And oh, that long? Yeah, because I think IFG had actually said something around like 2 weeks. And I told Emily that, and she was just like, oh, my God.
Yeah, no, 2 weeks is probably too short. I was thinking, you know, I have no concept of time, A, number one. I'm on a lot of medication for it.
Make it work.
Yes. So I'm just like, hey, I can slap together a dress in an hour and a half or probably 8 hours. I don't know. It's fine. No, I like the idea of making it a spring training release.
Spring fashion show.
You know, maybe when you get these things, take pictures, send them into us so that we can sort of, if there's a, you know, sort of see the progress as things go. I think that would be fun.
Yeah. We'll off-season content, people.
And also, this part of the contest was literally just to find out who's getting these 5XL jerseys. If you want to be a part of this, you can still be a part of it.
You can still be a contestant.
Yeah, make some stuff out of a jersey. It'd be fun.
Yeah, you can still enter it. And, like, you can make anything.
Just make something Cubs-related, whatever you want to make, and tell us you're going to do it and jump in. We just had to get this part of it going quickly, but now, I mean, we're looking at what, like, spring training. So
the first day or the first show of spring training is where we're gonna have our fashion show, we'll launch our spring fashion line, because I've got some ideas too, because I think I might get in on this. I'm just not going to participate in the jersey part, but I'm definitely getting in. I've got some ideas. In fact, later in the show, I've got a Christmas wish. Present that I would like to maybe see realized. I'm excited about this. So let's talk about there are some decisions by Friday. Can you imagine this? So the non-tenders got to be in by Friday, the non-tender decisions. Now it's right before Thanksgiving. So can you imagine, you already got your flight booked, you're back to see your family, and then you're, you know, Julian Merriweather, and you get the decision, you've been not tendered. They don't want you anymore. Now, I don't think that's going to happen to Merriweather, but he is one of the people that is arbitration eligible. And I'll put up a list of, I don't know if this is a complete list, but it's close. Real quick, Cody Hoyer, Nick Madrigal, Mike Tauchman, Nick Birdie, Julian Merriweather, Patrick Wisdom, Adbert Alzolay, and Mark Leiter Jr. and Justin Steele. So, you know, they're all expecting raises in arbitration, and whether they're worth it or not is up to the Cubs. Let's go down the list right here.
Cody Hoyer, man, that's tough because we just haven't seen him in a year and a half. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't know what to make of that. But I can't imagine he would get a raise, even though he is in arbitration, right? Like, well, they probably
think they have his projected here, which is pretty much no raise, which looks like it projected 2024 $785,000, which is, I believe, minimum.
Okay, so then he's minimum. I don't see them letting him walk. They're going to give him that minimum, I think.
Yeah.
Nick Madrigal at $2 million.
They'll pay him.
They're going to pay him because they don't have a third baseman right now. So, I mean, they put all this effort into making him a third baseman, and apparently, I mean, he was okay defensively. So, especially if they get Ohtani, they can have his bat in the lineup if Ohtani is the DH.
Yeah.
And some of these also, you got to consider roster considerations too, not just the money. Mike Tauchman, $2 million, 33 years old.
I absolutely think they keep him because, well, for $2 million, that's a lot. Well, because they don't have anybody playing center field. They literally don't have a center fielder except for maybe PCA. But I don't know if they want to just.
It's not like outfielders are hard to come by.
Well, and
centers are kind of hard.
Well, and you don't want Mike Tauchman at 33 years old blocking Canario, or I mean, we have a pretty full outfield, or PCA if you want to go that direction. And maybe the bat starts playing, I don't know, give him the room to fly. I mean, PCA is the center fielder of your future. Like, at what point are you going to just let that play out? You know, as long as Mike Tauchman's out there every day, it's not playing out, and we're just waiting for PCA.
I'm not saying make Mike Tauchman your starting center fielder. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that he's the only guy on this team right now that has considerable experience in that position.
Morrell's probably second.
Probably. Okay, if you're going to make Morrell your center fielder, go ahead and toss Tauchman. No, and I don't know. Maybe you just let Tauchman go because you can bring him back at a minimum deal. You could probably pull that off.
I don't know. I mean, somebody might want him. He had a really good summer until the summer ended. And then
But he's still 33. I mean,
he's not your future. Nick Birdie, he's the dude. He's the guy that his wife worked so hard.
Oh, God.
Two, three jobs only for him to go out there, have a triumphant return, and then have it fall flat, which with another injury, I believe. And so, or was it the same injury? I don't know, but.
No, he had like an appendicitis.
Oh, appendicitis.
Yeah.
And that put him on the, and then the appendicitis turned into.
But then he had like a wrist thing or something.
Is his middle name Job? Jimmy Jesus.
I know, right?
Not since Job in the Bible has a guy had such bad luck. It's like that when Homer Simpson goes down the cliff and just keeps getting hurt. Then he gets in the ambulance and the ambulance crashes. Julian Merriweather, I mean, he's older. He's 33, but that's not bad for a pitcher. I mean, remember when the Cubs used to have all the relief pitchers in their Jesus years? Like, that was a thing for a while.
Yeah.
Like, every single.
That's 1.3 million is the number on that one.
Yeah. That's a bargain.
They're picking that up right away.
Yeah, so Merriweather's back. Wisdom, that's a tougher one because now you're $2.5 million or more. you're thinking, now you got him for a couple more years. It's only his first ARB, so he's just going to start to get more expensive. He's 33.
And it's P-Wizzy.
Where are these numbers coming from?
I don't know. Math people.
Who the hell thinks that? I mean, Talkman at 2 million and P-Wiz at 2.6.
Yeah, like, but it's just built in. This is how it works.
Okay. Well,
it's just the system. It's the system that's making it like this.
And again, these are just projections. Actual arbitration is, you know, like their guys go in with a number and the Cubs guys go in with a number. And then somebody says,
well,
okay,
I mean,
one of these is right
for both of those guys.
Right. But so what you actually have is a situation where, like, do they make a deal without going to arbitration?
Right.
So they could avoid arbitration. Or they can go in and say, okay, we give you this number, we give you that number, and then the arbitrator picks one.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I guess
they can just say, I don't care, and then not even offer him anything.
I think Mike Talkman takes their offer, and I think the offer is more like 1 million versus 2 million. And
do you think Talkman would take a league minimum?
Yeah.
Or would he go and try his luck somewhere else?
I don't know. I mean, I think he would try his luck somewhere else because he had a really good summer last year, and he showed some really good defensive. He had a lot of flexibility out there. He was able to do different things for you. He led off, took a lot of at bats. I mean, that was like the first time he ever got a chance, and it worked pretty good. I mean, you know, and then if you consider like him versus.
Hold on a second. 4 seconds ago, I think I was saying that they do keep him and you guys were arguing against it. And then as soon as I say, well, you know,
no, I'm saying he won't go. He won't take $1 million. Like I'm saying that like he could find more money somewhere else. The question that on the table for me is Patrick Wisdom. Could he get $2.6 million somewhere else?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
And not with that strikeout rate.
Yeah, but I do think that he could be tradable maybe in this situation. Hey, he's mm-hmm. only going to make 2.5. You know, I mean.
Yeah, you can eat some money and send him somewhere else if you really want to.
Yeah, I mean, other than that, I mean, because at some point these guys are just taking up roster spots if you want to improve anywhere.
I feel like they're non-tendering Wisdom.
I feel like that's probably right.
Yeah, I could see it. Albert Alzolay, a steal at $2.5 million. I don't think we have to even discuss how awesome Albert Alzolay is. Yeah. Mark Leiter Jr. I think you bring him back, for what he could do. If that splits to lefties and keeps working, then you do that. And then Justin Steele, an absolute bargain at $4 million. So the only one that we really agreed it was maybe on the bubble is Wisdom. Maybe Talkman.
Right. And Hoyer would be on the bubble if he wasn't making league minimum. You know, like, well, I don't know.
For some, my brain broke for a second. I was like, Jed Hoyer is making league minimum? I'm like, didn't know they had minimums in that. So that's somebody's going to be told before Thanksgiving that they're out of a job or that they're getting a raise. So,
well. Okay, yeah. So, I mean, it will be interesting. Yeah, that's a weird list. Because, honestly, outside of Justin Steele and Albert Alzolay, who else do we have on that? Like, I kind of don't care. I guess Merriweather.
Yeah, Merriweather was
outside
good.
Outside of that, those three, I kind of could care less.
It's true. Well, it is true. I really could care less. Like, you could replace all those
guys. They're keeping every one of them except for Wisdom. And then we're like, but we don't necessarily want them all.
Yeah. I think we could. I'd like better guys.
Yeah.
Than some of those dudes. The last thing I wanted to bring up, at least in this segment, because we got a lot more to talk about, including Seth Kennedy's going to be here talking about his time on the marathon. We also have a lot of Thanksgiving's coming up. So we got the thanks from all the ranters. Like, we had people say what they're thankful for. But I did want to talk about this because we really never talk about it. And now it's changing again. Jeff Passan with this today. Big news. Major League Baseball's competition committee has proposed reducing the pitch clock with runners on base from 20 seconds to 18 seconds. Sources are telling ESPN the new rule could be implemented in time for the 2024 season. Details for free at ESPN or on the Sun Ranzo show. I just told it to you.
Okay.
Here's the details. Michael hates it.
It's
what else do you need to know?
And I mean, look, I think the pitch clock was actually pretty successful this year. I do, in the sense that it did what they wanted it to do, and that's move games along. Now, I think there's a lot of concern out there that there's some injuries to players because of that pitch clock, and now they want to make it even shorter? That seems insane to me.
Yeah. I mean, just leave it alone, right? At this point, just it worked. Just
let it ride for like a minute before you go changing shit again.
And what's 2 seconds going to do to the overall time of the game?
And nothing. You know,
Dodgers fans aren't even going to have time to get one popcorn before it's time for them to beat traffic on the way home.
It's it's like when they stop throwing the 4 intentional walk pitches.
Like, I still hate that. I'm still mad about it. I will be mad about that forever. Throw the damn ball, you cowards.
But it's just like, it's so ridiculous. Some of these things. I wish.
Shave 2 seconds. Like, what do you. Yeah, just
I wish they would explain to us why. What is the reasoning that they have? Like, it's just 20 seconds is too long versus 8. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, and it seemed they already seemed to fix what they were looking to fix. The games got a lot shorter. The pace got a lot quicker. There was a lot more stolen bases. And this is what I want to talk about. I don't want to open a giant can of worms right now, but maybe this is something we can talk about later on the Discord as well. Is like, I was kind of not surprised to hear you say that it was kind of a successful overall implementation of the pitch clock rule. Now, I still contend that I wish that they just played faster, but it didn't seem like they were about to do that. So, was it necessary? I don't really think so, but like, it actually worked. And only a few times when I was at games this year was I like, did I feel like it was too fast? Like, I felt rushed with my Wrigley baseball experience. And I felt like it got better as the year went on because the players learned where they could take the time. The catchers held the ball longer. The way that maybe it's the 3-batter minimum rule, that kind of changed the way that, you know, like David Ross and his 2-out pitching changes sort of thing. So the game, they started manipulating it in ways, not necessarily to make it longer, but the result was that it got longer. And maybe sometimes it was to make it longer. Like when the catcher is like, my pitcher needs a breather, so I'm going to pretend that I dropped the ball or that I need to adjust my shin guard. Or how many times this year did the
Pitchcom just stop. I can't hear them, man. We got to change the battery in this thing.
Yeah.
The absolute worst batteries anybody has ever seen in their life.
Yeah, Duracell's definitely not doing a deal with Major League Baseball and the pitch guy. ours run on Amazon Basic. Amazon Basic batteries in every Pitchcom at Major Leagues.
Instead of shaving whatever 2 seconds off of this, you know, pitch clock, why don't they make the brims of their hats into little solar panels to power these things that just don't seem to keep going?
It's a little too green for the MLB owners, don't you think? It's a little too environmentally friendly.
Then they would actually be calling games for rain, like, so, the second it got cloudy.
We didn't complain about the pitch clock this year that much. not as much as we did before the season. And I just kind of find that interesting. It's not that I'm like the pitch clock necessarily, but I was absolutely fine with it eventually. And my anger subsided, I guess.
I didn't hate the longer games. Like, that was never really a concern for me. I do feel like some of the games were a little short. Like, I honestly, I did kind of feel that. And, you know, but overall, in the watching of it, the actual experience, it was fine, I guess. I mean, there were times back in the day that pitchers did kind of screw around a little too long. Yeah.
IFG, where were you at it with it through as the year progressed?
Not to sound like stubborn or whatever. It materially changed the way that I watch baseball. I still see the numbers counting down on the screen and it gives me anxiety. I don't enjoy it. I enjoy watching baseball less because there is a clock ticking down. Every single pitch. So yeah, I hate it. I hate it a lot.
I watched less this year too. I did. I listened a lot more to the radio, and I kind of agree that just the fact that it felt like you've got to keep going. Yeah. Keep going. There is no moment to stop the game and let a moment happen. There were a few times that it was egregious to a baseball moment, a human baseball moment that got wrecked.
Yeah, Bellinger yeah. back in L.A. getting a standing ovation or whatever, and they called
strike one. Sorry, buddy, get in the box and hit that, you asshole.
To me, I have a really complicated relationship with time anyway, for several reasons, but. Like the ballpark to me was a place where clocks didn't exist, and now they do, and to me that's worse.
I personally feel what you're saying here, IFG, with showing the clock. I don't care. I don't need to see the pitch clock at all, unless they call some sort of a pitch clock violation. And then, in the replay, they can show you how that violation happened. But I don't need to see that clock.
That might make it better. But the fact that it's there, even if I go to the ballpark, there's six clocks all the way around the stadium. And I don't know. I don't like it. Not to harp on the point too much. But to me, it does affect how I watch the game. And I don't like it.
Well, I like what Dennis Huffman says. He said the best thing to come out of the pitch clock is the bitch clock. And and that I think we could all agree upon that the best thing that ever happened. You know, I would love to turn that into a family board game. Well, maybe not a family board game because it's called bitch clock. But can you imagine it's kind of like the what's that game? Not Words with Friends.
Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah, you have a bitch clock version, and you say I got a bitch about something, and then you have an all bitch session or something. I don't know. I haven't worked out the details, but well, anyway, I just thought it was interesting that the pitch clock success wasn't successy enough for them.
That is insane. And I feel like if you cut that down by another 2 seconds, all it's going to do is make there be more times when people have violations, and we shouldn't be working towards that.
Yeah.
No.
They should maybe add 2 extra seconds to both versions just so that we don't have that. I don't know.
That's what people were saying. Add a little bit more time. People actually concurred about that. But what do the fans know? We're just the people that watch it every day. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with Seth Kennedy, who's going to tell us all about his experience of listening to Sun Ranto's marathon podcast as he ran the New York City Marathon. But first, we'd like to remind you that the holidays are coming, and it's buy stuff for the people you love time. So please think of us and shop at sunranto.com/shopping, where there are links to all sorts of fabulous shit.
If you're like most Americans, you buy shit. Lots of shit. Sometimes you buy shit for other people. Sometimes you buy shit for yourself. And sometimes you buy shit you have to buy just to stay alive. So why not buy shit through the Sunranto affiliate? Links at sunranto.com/shopping. We've got tons of shit you can buy. Go to sunranto.com, click on the shopping link, then click our ads and buy shit. We've got Amazon. They've got tons of shit. But you can also buy MLB shit, NBA shit, NFL shit, Fans Edge shit, Southwest Airlines shit, Fanatic shit, Reebok shit, Wine of the Month shit, Beer of the Month shit, Bear Mattress shit, StubHub shit, Lid shit, Sports Memorabilia shit, Volcanica coffee shit, Vibrator shit, Condom shit, Bag shit, NHL shit, and Audible membership shit. There's a whole lot of shit that can help the Sun Ranto Show stay on the air so we can keep talking shit. So buy shit today through sunranto.com/shopping. Thanks. Cubs Jesus thinks you're the shit.
Welcome back. I did want to share with you, too, that I am wearing a shirt that is for sale.
That is such a short commercial.
It's a minute. So check this out. I've got my Our Bull Penis Awesome shirt on. These are, I think I've sold like maybe five of these in the last 8 years. But you too could have one. I'm going to drop the link for it in the chat. I always forget to, sell the stuff I create. I'm just like, shouldn't people just know about it and love it and make me rich somehow? No, that's not how it works. But you can buy a Bull Penis Awesome shirt amongst a lot of other things at sunranto.com/shopping. And also sunranto.com/stuff, where all the Amazon things are. And Black Friday's coming, and then Cyber Monday, and sure, then Giving Tuesday, and then Wacky Wednesday, which I don't know what that is.
So Black Friday, buy a black t-shirt, right? Then small business, I think we fit in that. Buy whatever color t-shirt you want. On Giving Tuesday, join Patreon. I think you can do all – we're a one-stop shop for every day.
Agreed. Well, I don't know how to transition to Seth, but so here he is. It's fresh from his New York City Marathon. A big round of applause for ranter Seth Kennedy.
Hey!
Seth, welcome to the Sun Ranto Show. It's nice to have you on. How nice are you? How you feeling?
I can pretty much walk normally again, which is an improvement over where I was a week ago.
How many days did it take to recover? Like, were you really hobbling around after running 26 miles?
Yeah, I mean, like I did a good job of staying on my feet afterwards that day, so helps take the edge off a little bit, but you know, going up and down stairs for a few days afterwards is a slower production than I'm used to.
Can you take sick days after a marathon? Can you just be like, my legs don't work anymore?
I probably could.
Call in crippled?
I would have to call in dead, so...
Yeah, I don't know if I can even walk 26.
The epitome of a thing you did to yourself, though, so, you know.
So let's just get this out of the way, because I am so curious, too. Carrie Meyer asked in the chat, can't wait to hear how close Danny was at predicting where Seth was along the route during the podcast. Yeah, I wonder about that, like this Williamsburger song and, you know, what we were saying when you're going by Gracie Mansion and up into by Yankee Stadium and with Uncle Mike in Queens, like – how close were we?
Pretty much bang on.
That's delightful. Wow.
I mean, the
only because you were on. I mean, we were. You told me where you'd be, and then we were hoping you'd be there, as were you.
There were a couple of points where, like, when you come off the Queensboro Bridge, you go from being on a bridge where there are no people down onto First Avenue in Manhattan, where it's wall-to-wall people. So, like, the experience of having the sound of that, I kind of paused for a couple of minutes and then picked it back up. So pretty much anyway that I threw it off was my own fault for having paused. But
well, you don't want to miss a thing from our show, that's for sure. There's don't want to fast forward that. sure that we didn't say anything useless in the 5 hours we talked.
Well, I mean, you talked about what, 4 or 5 people off of the 40-man roster. You were making. I didn't want to miss anybody.
Yeah, we got to finish that show. In fact, we didn't even.
How many of those people are still on the 40-man roster?
About half of them, I think.
The Cubs added more people to the 40-man roster this week than we talked about in that show.
So you're from the East Coast. You've been to Manhattan before, so you kind of knew. You know New York City, I would say, to a certain extent. But how was it? IFG was born in New York City, in fact.
So, I was born on Staten Island. So, you know, depending on how New Yorker you are. I was born in New York City. I was born on Cop Island.
It's a borough. It's a borough. But, like, what's the difference with when you're running it in that way, with especially with no traffic, where you're running in the middle of First Avenue?
I was just about to say, less traffic.
No, yeah,
man. I used to have to dodge bicycles and stuff when I was running around there.
There are a couple of points during the race where you still have to do that. There are a couple of pockets of like Brooklyn and stuff where, you know, people have to get across the street. They're just going to cross the street.
I've been that guy. I'm like, marathon day. Not today, buddy. Out of my way.
But I mean, it where it particularly gets helpful is any marathon when you get into like the area past mile 20 and you start kind of losing your mind, you just start doing math and figuring out like, okay, so I have this many miles left and I have to do this and I have to do that. With that stretch here, it's the math is easier because you come out of the Bronx and just go down Fifth Avenue. And you come in at like 165th, and you know you go into Central Park at like 75th, and then you go down to the bottom of Central Park around 59th, and then you have to go back into Central Park. So it helps to sort of do the math of just how much misery you have left until you get to stop.
Did you see anybody totally lose it, like poop their pants and, you know, laying on the side of the ground crying?
Not really. I mean, any time once you get into the second half of the race, there's constantly people stopping, stretching.
Well, you went fast. You were probably ahead of all those losers anyway. Like those people were weighing your dust anyhow.
Yeah, well, those people seem to have fun too.
Well, not if they didn't finish. Well, I mean, true. I wonder what the percentages of people that don't finish. I would like to know because I'd be in that. I'm one of the rare people that don't finish the race.
It's pretty small. I think it's something like 98% of people who started finished or something like that. And
When do they finally take the shit away? You know, like they're like, it's been 8 hours. We're done. We don't care if Jimmy has 4 more blocks or not. We're out of here.
Well, so every race has like an official cutoff time. Some of them are more aggressive than others. There's one called the Marine Corps Marathon in DC, has a cutoff time at which like it goes across the Francis Scott Key Bridge from Virginia into DC. And if by 1:30 PM or whatever the cutoff time is, you're not across the bridge, tough shit. They open the bridge.
They blow up the bridge. You die. That's it. Run faster next time, loser.
You really don't want to be on the bridge. Shooting
people.
But New York is actually unique in that I think their official cutoff time is like 7 hours after the last person starts or something like that. They'll cut off the official timing, but they don't actually like close the finish line and stop giving out medals or anything like that until the last person finishes.
So like you can get, you know, halfway through Brooklyn and stop and like have a pizza and a beer and chill out with your friends a little bit and then go finish up the race.
I don't know how much of that you can do voluntarily.
Yeah. I wonder if you could do a marathon bar crawl and just go 26 miles and hit every bar, you know, do a shot of Malort, keep on going.
Well, there was a guy at like mile 24, 24 and a half at the side of the road with a tray of plastic shot glasses pouring out fireball shots.
Oh, hero!
What mile is this?
On the show. I've, you know, a lot of races you get, like, if you run by a frat house or anything like that, they think it's funny to set up their own aid station with cups of beer. I like those guys. A shot of Fireball 24 miles into a marathon is probably not a good idea.
Yes. No, then you're one of those people pooping yourself. That's how that happens. The
best case scenario.
Yeah, exactly. So you're on the East Coast, but why are you a Cubs fan? Like, what's your connection to Chicago?
I mean, I grew up there, moved out here, first for college, kind of wound up back in Chicago for law school by accident, but moved out here.
I like how you accidentally went to law school.
Well, the plan was to end up out here, and the law school search process and the financial aid offers had other ideas. But actually wound up I interviewed for my first job out here like the last week of March of 2016 and knew it had gone well enough that we ended up going to opening day of 2016 as a proxy for like, we know we're going to be moving out soon. And, you know, this might be the year. So we should at least see something.
See at least one game at Wrigley to say you did.
When I was in law school, we lived not far from Wrigley Field. So as cool as the atmosphere would have been, being in the neighborhood when it actually happened probably would have been a bit much.
Yeah, it was. It was a bit much to be there. I still feel it. I'm still exhausted from 2016. Right. I'm like, oh, yeah, that never felt the same again. I never used that elbow quite the same way.
That's how Aroldis Chapman felt about his elbow.
Yeah, exactly.
No kidding.
Well, shockingly, he's been in every single World Series since then. Somehow that happened.
So, you've done the New York Marathon, and you've done was that your first time doing that one?
That was my first time doing New York. Yeah.
So, are you going to continue on? Do you have like a bucket list of marathons that you want to get to?
So sort of long-term bucket list, I'd like to try to do one in every state.
Oh my God, that's
a lot.
Does Alaska even have one?
They do. Do you use
skis? Dogs? Sleds?
Well, they don't have to shut down the roads. There's just nobody there.
Yeah, there is no roads.
You just run the entire Iditarod path without any
exactly. With medicine. With medicine around your neck.
But I'd like to do that. I've done New York and Chicago, which is two of the six world major marathons. So still would have London, Berlin, Tokyo, and Boston. So I'd like to do that. And then, I mean, there are lots of just sort of fun destination-y sorts of races. There's one in South Africa that like goes through a big game nature preserve.
So you like run away from lions and stuff. that'll get you going. I finished at 3:15 because a cheetah was chasing me.
Yeah, you don't want to be out there after the cutoff on that one.
No, that literally cut off.
Oh man, well that's wild. You know, that's you must be in great shape. I mean, and you know, that takes a lot of stick-to-itiveness to be able to do something, a physical feat of that nature.
Yeah, you don't have to be good at it. You just have to do it a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I can run for a very long time kind of fast.
Well, I mean,
that's about the best I can do.
You heard in the podcast, like, we were doing the show, and to me, I mean, I was having fun. It felt like it was way too fast. I was just like thinking to myself when Danny was bringing up where you were supposed to be, I was like, how can he possibly be this far right now? Like,
I'm only fast, man. So, well, we had a lot of fun doing it for you. And, you know, we'll record a marathon podcast for Tokyo. We'll do it in Japanese, in fact. You know, I know we'll like four on, words.
We talked about it earlier. We'll bring on Mini Vish. We'll bring on O-Tiny.
Yeah.
We'll find Ichiro wherever he is.
Yeah, Ichiro will come. We'll bring back Koji Says. Remember Fujihara. Yama?
No, Fujihara.
Okay.
Fujihara. And yes, he had a blog. I remember the Koji.
He had a blog and we translate it and it was, and he's actually, he's still hanging out too. He's still doing baseball stuff, but people, well, somebody brought that up.
What's Minori Kawasaki doing these days? Maybe you can get him on.
He'd come on. Yeah, monkeys don't get cramps.
Yeah,
Minori Kawasaki. Yeah, he was fun.
So get that Japanese marathon going, and we'll find every single Japanese player, including new Cubs Shohei Ohtani, who we're definitely signing this offseason.
We're gonna get Ohtani. You know who's the pitcher that everybody?
Yamamoto.
Yes, we're getting Yamamoto.
Yep.
Three-time Sawamura Award winner. He just won his third Gold Glove in a row. He threw no hitters in consecutive seasons. Threw two this year. Amazing. Great guy. Yeah.
So get Seth, all those guys. So basically, we are going to start selling this city to these players. If you come play here, this random guy that you've never heard of will run a marathon in Tokyo, and then
podcast will do a show in Japanese for you. This is selling itself. I don't see how Ohtani could not come here now.
Look, if this is what I can do to help bring Shohei Ohtani to Wrigley Field.
Well, we recorded it tonight, so we will always have proof that we manifested it this evening with IFG's awesome shirt, with us talking about it, with us praising his name, and us also praising you for your incredible physical feat. But and that's feat with F-E-A-T. I don't know how you're actually.
I mean, also his incredible feat, because I know mine couldn't have done that.
Exactly. Mike could have. So, we'll see you on the Discord afterwards. Love talking to you. See, Seth's one of the guys. Like, this sells itself, too. You could hang out with Seth if you were a Patreon member, hung out on Discord with us. Even if you weren't a Patreon member, you could hang out with Seth. So, anyway, thanks for coming on, man. And congratulations again. We're going to play a really short commercial, and then we'll be right back. Spagog, Seth.
Spagog.
If you like the Cubs a bunch, buy your t-shirts from In the Clutch. We've got all the best styles for you. Dansby, Seiya, Morel too. Clark Fly in his W. Cody Bellinger smoking dudes. Vintage shirts from days of old. Patrick Wisdom and Nico. You'll look sharp wearing your stro. 10% off with the code. S-O-N-R-A-N-T-O. S-O-N-R-A-N-T-O. InTheClutch.com is your store for the most fun baseball shirts on the planet. Don't forget to use promo code SUNRANTO to knock a couple bucks off your purchase. Stack or die, we need more cups. Get it all at In the Clutch. Cause if you like the Cubs a bunch, buy t-shirts from In the Clutch. Get it all at In the Clutch. Get it all at In the Clutch.
Do you ever find yourself longing for long walks and talks about catcher metrics? How about a coffee or a run differential? Maybe a candlelit dinner dissecting what exactly is the curious case of Miles Mastroboni? If you have, I have just the place for you, the Cubs PS Plus podcast. Come join us. Cubs PS Plus, a Northside numbers game, can be found wherever it is you get your podcasts, and on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, all at Cubs PS Plus, a spin on the baseball metric OPS Plus. Are you ready? I'm ready. Here we go.
Hashtag chance in the chat if you would like to win a Frank Chance postcard sent to you by me with a message of love and doom and be entered to win the fabulous bag of goodies. Man, I could never run a marathon. That's just one thing I'm never going to do. Never going to ride in a submarine. Never going to get in a hot air balloon. Never going to skydive. Like, that's a lot of things, actually.
Danny just spends the rest of the night listening crap.
Never going to ride a shark. Never going to water ski.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think you could water ski.
Not doing it.
Oh, well, that's just you choosing.
No, I'm never swimming in Crawley's Lake.
No, I ran. I can run, like in the Army we always had to run all the time, and so I can do it. I just can't imagine like wanting to do it for that long. I don't think in any way I could pull off a sub 4 hour marathon. Like
not a chance in hell.
I think I could just because I'd want to get it over with as fast as possible. Just like, I'm just going to do this as quickly. Just go with the 26 miles so I could go rest somewhere. So I wanted to – I asked in the Discord and I also asked on the Sun Rantle Ranchers page because this is our last show before Thanksgiving because next week we're going to take off for the holiday and then we'll be back. And we'll be back with all sorts of fun and exciting things like, I don't know, the Sun Ranto caroling competition. That's going to start.
I really hope the Cubs do something over the next, like, before we come back. Because, my Lord, there was not a bunch to talk about.
Cubs-wise. Yeah, we literally talked about Bailey Horn for, like, 15 minutes. It had a guy who ran a marathon. It's not even the same sport. So, there's running involved. So anyway, I asked people what they're thankful for. And so we got some answers. This is Artie, Mr. Fourth Throw from the Discord. He says, I'm thankful that we have this group that we can have an exchange of ideas and thoughts. Some we agree on and others not. I wonder who he means. And have the understanding that we are in this together. Oh, and we can't get censored and throw in Facebook jail within a freaking private freaking group. So yeah. Agreed. Already a longtime listener and a good friend of the show for many years. So here's another one. This from Josh. He said, kind of weird, but I'm thankful I lost my job this fall. Well, I'm sorry, Josh.
That is kind of weird. It's very weird.
He goes on to say, it's been a great time reassessing life goals and being present for my wife and kids. I've also been able to do some travel that I wouldn't have otherwise done. Looking forward to my next chapter and a smiley face. So that's great. He's got a positive attitude. He says, my dogs are thankful for having a full-time walker in the house. And Seth, who was just on the show, says, being present for your wife and kids is great. Hanging out with dogs full-time is the damn dream. Depends on your dogs, but sure. No, that's cool. And good luck with whatever you do next, Josh. So,
yeah, and it's great to have that sort of an outlook on it as well.
Definitely.
I mean, I don't know what Josh was doing or you know, what his situation is this moment, but I'm glad he's being able to, you know, take some time to enjoy not working.
I think he was a pole dancer.
Oh.
Pretty sure he was a stripper. Not sure. Wouldn't work it out.
He lost his job because of the tax evasion.
Yeah.
He just hasn't been reporting all the ones.
Boomer Bill says, I'm thankful for this group and the fact that you allow a grumpy old boomer to play in your reindeer games. He is the oldest one of all of us, I think. Maybe Tom. I think him and Tom. I'm especially thankful to Rocket Law. Who would have thought meeting the funny man with a guitar at Skender Lake, that's Corey's Lake, Corey Finneran from IVNV, at IVNV Weekend at the Lake, would have led to the fun and enjoyment and ranting I've had since the initial meeting, I think, in 2016. Totally agree. And a lot of these actually echo my sentiments, which is I can't imagine, you know, without the last 11 years of doing this show and hanging out with all of you and what the Cubs have like become as like this giant part of my life. you know, I can't imagine what my life would be right now. I mean, I might be really successful.
If you would take all these hours we've done this and just
done something worthwhile.
Could have done something constructive with it, and instead we're making 4-hour jokes with Boomer Bill in the Discord.
Exactly.
You know, I kind of love that he put in there playing the reindeer games, because if I remember, I mean, obviously, Danny, you've been doing Cubs Miss Carols for the entire time, but like, a lot of this got started. Me and Bill went back and forth, I think in 2019, maybe 2018, writing and playing and singing really bad Christmas songs at each other.
Like dirty ones, right?
Yeah.
Nasty, raunchy ones. Yeah. I think I remember that. So yeah. And by the way, I do want to bring this up about the Christmas carols, is that, you know, if somebody steals your idea for a Christmas song, do your own anyway. It doesn't matter. You know, like, so if somebody uses Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, that song you were going to use, it doesn't matter. Maybe it should be about something different. You know, don't.
I think totally... six of us did 12 Days of Christmas this week.
Yeah, exactly. So don't think that, you know, you gotta, you know, that there could be multiple of the same song. So I'm going to put a few more of these up. Mike Waller from the Cubs PS Plus podcast says, I'm very thankful for this group, the best group of Cubs fans I've ever found online. Also very thankful to be a part of the FFSN. Now that's the Fan First Sports Network. Then also thankful to have a franchise that seems on the rise. A big change from the last several years. Ain't that the truth?
Yeah. How fun is it to like be hopeful again as a Cubs fan? I've often said if we didn't have any false hope, we'd have none at all. But like this almost feels like real hope.
Yeah, I was like, what's that weird feeling in my chest? Oh, it's hope. I like feel like at the end of Grinch Stole Christmas.
Yeah.
When they're all singing anyway.
Growing three sizes. Yeah. I can feel it pushing against the iron cage.
What's that feeling in my chest? Oh, my heart's beating again. Oh, my God.
I'd like to echo what Mike said there about the best Cubs fans. Look, I've said it a number of times on this show, and I haven't, that Discord and the things that we talk about and where people are coming from, this is a really smart, the Ranchers are brilliant. Like, they're really good at all this stuff. So,
yeah. So Tim J. 80 says, thankful the Cubs didn't completely suck and they had a winning record. Also thankful for this group and how we can all share in the good times and the bad. And then Eric Brown, this is from Facebook, said, not sure. This is about what he's thankful for. He says, not sure. I get worried that Jed Hoyer is going to swap out my turkey for tofurkey next Thursday. Once again,
I'm just hoping he gets us some pitchers, some hitters, and some other really good, and we end up with like a turducken instead.
You still got to respect the Facebook group Sun Ranto Ranchers.
Oh, we got a manager. That's the third one.
Too bad he can't play. Actually, it's a good thing we don't have to look at his dumb batting stance where he looks like a man chained up on the wall. This is from Seth Kennedy, who is our marathoner, said, he's like, here's my joke, thankful. I'm thankful that I'm not a Sox fan. Me
so
too.
True, though.
But seriously, he says, running the New York City Marathon was a dream years in the making for me. It was an absolute struggle through the notoriously difficult final stretch. And the fact that you guys wasted so much fucking time to make me laugh throughout was just wonderful. I know I've said it before, but I can't thank y'all enough. Also, Craig Council. Seriously, thankful for that dude, too. And then Brandon Stahl says, I... quote unquote healthy organization. I don't know if he meant that sarcastically.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. We're still waiting on the lab results to come back on that healthy organization.
Yeah. Wrigleyville Bum says, thanks for all of you and being a ranter. And also getting to take care of Kitty and getting to take in the sites, including Graceland Cemetery. Thanks to me, and also thankful for the deep dish pizza that they had at Michael's Pizzeria. I've never had their deep dish, but it looks delicious and exactly how deep dish should look. I'm thankful to Joe for watching my cat. So like he stayed with it at my house with his family and watched my cat because I lost my cat sitter. And I'm like, hey, you wouldn't feel like coming to Chicago for a day and going, remember how you were talking about going to Graceland Cemetery? You know, I need about 48 hour cat watch here. So he did that. I'm thankful. John Friedman is thankful for the firing of Ross. He says, now I feel like I can move on to the next chapter. Man, that was harsh. That's how I feel. He's a good guy, but it connected me to much too much to 2016. And I hated the Ricketts for doing what they did. John, this is a thankful.
That was the most Dun Ranto thankful I've ever heard.
I'm so glad this shit's over.
Fuck that guy. April, that's Dan Nielsen's girlfriend, said, I'm thankful for Dan Nielsen and the love that we shared. Aww. Also him bringing me and the kids closer to the Cubs and the Ranters. So if you don't know who Dan Nielsen is, he is a Ranter that the first anniversary of Dan dying was just a few days ago. Was it yesterday? Yesterday or the day before? And it was just a shock. A young guy had a stroke, died. And so we threw a big thing in the bleachers this year for him and his family. And it was a magical time that I will never forget. Ian Happ threw us baseballs. There was like a miracle Cubs comeback that fizzled, which Dan Nielsen probably thought was hilarious from hell. And it was just a really beautiful time that we had. And, you know, I'm thankful that Dan was in our lives and made us laugh so much. So,
yeah, and absolutely.
Now April's in our life too. And guess we have annual Dan Nielsen Ranter Day at the ballpark. Mary Ellen Gurley says the bleachers and ball hawk corner. Amen for that. And Bill Sugar says me, Danny Rocket heart.
No. Well,
I feel the same way, Bill, and about all the Ranters. So,
in the chat, Robert Sanchez Jr., I'm thankful the Cardinals finished dead last.
Yeah, and if you got more thankfulnesses, we'll take them through the rest of the show because we got one more thing to talk about.
A little darker note, Mike Waller asks, is this a front office fake rally? getting counsel could very well be the worst fake rally we've ever seen.
Well, I was going through our show last week and I'm cutting it up for, you know, digestible TikTok-y segments. And, I thought it was funny when IFG said our team will spend on anything but a player.
Right.
We spent $1 billion on a sports book nobody can gamble in.
Yeah. So
that is one thing that people don't talk about enough. Is how insanely stupid that place is.
Yeah. A lot of ways.
It is a giant Chili's.
Yeah. I wish it was a rock.
TVs.
Exactly. I can't wait till it becomes a Chili's. And they're like, hey, Chili's got deep pockets. There's still a lot of awesome blossoms. It becomes
a better restaurant than Chili's. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know. I like Chili's, man. They're not making run for their border. What's their thing? make a run for the toilet. Chili's. So I don't know. Do you guys have a good, the bad, and the ugly? We're not going to do bad and ugly. I just had a good because we're going to start our Secret Santa next when we come back. So
yeah.
So I'm going to post about that on the Discord and on Sun Ranto Ranchers Facebook. We're going to do Secret Santa again. Get in on it, like minimum $25 gifts, stuff like that. But it's a lot of fun. Get to know people, buy each other fun cup stuff that you wouldn't buy for each other otherwise. But I thought I would do my little wish list. Joey, Spirit Halloween next year for the sports book. That'd be great. Dude, I would love to get a giant Spirit Halloween and put it. That'd be absolutely wonderful. I mean, hopefully we're playing on Halloween next year.
Yeah.
So what did you have on your goodness.
On my wish list. Okay. Let me find it. It's
you
somewhere.
You said minimum 25 or maximum 25?
Maximum. That's what
he said. Yeah, maximum 25. Okay. Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
minimum 25. This is the high rollers table.
High rollers.
Get in. Yeah. Go big or go home. So what I'm thinking is I want my gift to be something that I could use for the project warning track. And so my idea is I've created this character and his name is the Cubanon Shaman. And it's kind of, if you see what I got going on here, let me explain it to the podcast listeners. You've got like the Grand Poobah Water Buffalo from the Flintstones hat.
Okay.
And it's like
a 50-year-old reference. Keep going.
It looks kind of like Marge Simpson's hair, right? In a way, except for it's got the big white buffalo horns coming out the side. And so the Cubanon Shaman, I'm just going to get this hat, which is $25 right there. There's your present. And then I just put a patch on it, like a Cubs patch, and I'm instantly Cubanon Shaman. And as you can see, QAnon Shaman there, that's just kind of an artist rendering, otherwise known as my shitty non-Photoshop skills.
Yeah, you're stretching there to say that artist
is,
rendering.
That is certainly something.
So it's a character I'm bringing out. I think he chops cup snakes. He definitely storms the bleachers. So, and I could also, if I don't want to use this blue hat, I could also use this Cubanon Shaman, which is a lot furrier, but it looks like that could keep you warm in those April games. I could definitely get on Sunday Night Baseball dressed as Cubanon Shaman.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Get obvious shirts to make me a Cubanon Shaman shirt. Scream a lot.
Shit on somebody's desk.
Shit on a desk. Light a cigar. Call it a day.
Amazing.
Coming on shopping. So what do you guys want?
Well, I misunderstood the
assignment.
I thought we were just coming up with this is what I think other people may want. I would kind of want this, but I have a lot of hoodie sweatshirts already. But this is, I found this out there.
We sell this?
Yes. It's on Amazon.
I didn't know.
If you go on Amazon and type in Sunranto swag, it'll bring up all the different things that you can get with. And this is the Sunranto Show, royal blue hoodie, pullover hoodie, and it's got the Dabbin Cubes fan. I have a green t-shirt with the Dabbin Cubes fan. I love this version of the Cubes fan. It's my favorite. So
I'll actually I found the Sunranto swag link, so I'm gonna drop that in the chat. There is a lot of cool stuff in there because
one shirt that says it's TFG and it's got a finger. And I mean, just for about 2 seconds, I thought it said IFG.
Well, I don't sell any of these. Nobody buys them. Maybe it's because we don't tell anybody that they exist. But do you remember?
Even know they exist.
I didn't know that that existed because I think you could just check, like, do you want to sell sweatshirts? I'm like, sure, maybe somebody could do it.
Why not?
But nobody ever buys them, so I don't think to sell them. But do you remember this one that I made? Because this just came up. This was the David Ross shirt that we made. Don't let the pleasure exceed the accountability.
Yeah.
I think
this is actually for sale. This is for sale.
And it's in like Times New Roman.
Yeah,
font is terrible.
It might be the worst shirt that anybody ever made.
Is this something Mrs. Ross said?
No, it's something that we said that David Ross said. Because you know how Joe Madden was, don't let the pressure.
Try not to struck.
Yeah, don't let the pressure exceed the pleasure. And so then Danny mashed it with something David Ross's accountability.
Don't let the pleasure exceed the accountability.
Yeah. in Times New Roman font.
That was an afternoon well spent for me.
The shirt's scratchy. Everything's bad.
Well, no, you don't want any pleasure.
This is amazing.
The
I
most
spend half of my life looking around on Fanatics waiting for them to learn how to count to 13 so that I can get things to say Infield Fly Girl on them. And then I found this.
Your name here, Fan Cave, where there's no off season.
I could put it like right there.
Okay.
Yeah. And it could say Infield Fly Girl where there's no off season. Infield Fly Girl Fan Cave where there's no off season.
Seriously, even the middle of the night you're watching baseball.
I'm watching baseball all year long.
All night long.
All night, all day, 24 hours. 369 days a year.
Nice.
Nice.
But I think that it's $35. So it doesn't fit the bill.
I could
so
see
if you're looking for something that fits the bill and you're like me and you live in Seattle where you can't take bags into the stadium unless they are clear, you can get this.
Ooh.
So when the Cubs are here in Seattle for four games in April, like they're going to be, I can rep my Cubbies.
Yeah, I like that. And I think you can buy, if this is off Fanatics, we have a
Fanatics. Yeah, this is all off Fanatics. So you go to sunranto.com/shopping and you click the Fanatics button there.
Then you
and
buy
then it helps
stuff.
Me buy tickets and beer.
Yeah, precisely. So do we have anything else?
Do we want to talk about Christopher Morel and the hilarious thing that the writers keep saying that he's playing first base this winter and the fact that the Aguilas Cibaeñas have decided they're going to put him literally as far away from first base as humanly possible every single game?
Yeah, all the left field. Yeah, I mean, just every game. Yeah, is it a joke? I mean, I don't know how much. They must talk somewhat. There must be some sort of instructions to be like, hey, this is kind of what we want him to do. And then they run the team like how they want to. But
I think Daddy Jesus is like, I'll put him where I want him.
Well, you know, and it's funny. If people are wondering where we started from, in the GM meetings that were last week, Jed Hoyer actually was asked about Christopher Morel. And he told the reporter that, like, oh, he's in Lineup right now. He's working on playing first base.
And
no one
never
has seen him play first base at all. The Aguilas have a first baseman, Elijah Montero. And he's apparently blocking. He's blocking Morel's advancement into first base.
He never played first base one time for the Cubs. Like, where did this come from in the first place? Like, it felt like maybe like a weird troll, or that they're trying to trade him, or it's just some weird smoke signal, or I don't know.
But they're playing. What we really want is for him to be on the completely other side of the ballpark from first base.
Yeah. Maybe that's what he's doing. He's on the other side, so he has got a really good view of what a first baseman does. he can just study it and see it from the perspective and then try to do it himself. Yeah, that's kind of wild.
Robert Sanchez Jr. Says, Starlin Castro, ?
Yes.
It is.
Oh, yeah, Starlin Starlin's Castro on the team. Mm-hmm. And Alexander Canario, if y'all were paying attention, too. It's been delightful. Pedro Strop is on the team as well. He keeps giving up the lead because he's just not breaking anymore. Bless his heart. He's trying so hard.
And then the other thing you got in this chat here is about Colonel Sanders.
Okay.
And the
so this
curse
is
of Colonel Sanders.
Yes. So this year, it's been really funny. The Texas Rangers won the World Series, breaking the second longest World Series drought. The Kia, no, the my brain, the LG Twins in the KBO just won the Korea Series, breaking the second longest drought in Korea Series history. And then this year, the Hanshin Tigers won the Japan Series, breaking the second longest drought in NPB history. The last time they won was in 1985. And this officially ends the curse of the Colonel.
So what year to be second longest drought?
So that's like there's one team that has gone more years without having won the Japan Series.
But what is the curse of the Colonel?
So the curse of the Colonel, I'm so glad you asked. The curse of the Colonel is delightful. So back in 1985, so 38 years ago, I was a wee little fetus at the time, was the last time the Hanshin Tigers won the Japan Series. Before they won the Japan Series, they had to win the Central League pennant. And this was the first time they had won the Central League pennant in ages and ages and ages. And everybody was so delighted. There was a whole thing going on. Like, they hadn't won in forever. And there was this writer, he might have like written manga or science fiction novels or something. And he was like, if the Hanshin Tigers win the pennant, I'm going to go jump in the canal. And so they finally win the pennant in 85. And everybody's like, we're going to go jump in the canal. Clearly. So everybody goes to jump in the canal. And so while they're all doing that, everybody's like, this guy will come up and be like, I look like so-and-so, the first baseman. And then he jumps into the canal. And I look like this guy, the shortstop. And he jumps into the canal. And when they get to like this, the one of their foreign players, actually the foreign player, first baseman, Randy Bass, he was a white guy and nobody looked like him. So they went looking around for something that looked like Randy Bass to jump into the canal. And what they ran into was this statue of Colonel Sanders, because, you know, Randy Bass, Colonel Sanders, they look so much alike. And so they decide to pull the statue from the KFC restaurant near there, and they chuck him into the canal, and the statue sinks into the water. They're trying to pull it out. Nobody can pull it out. And they try to pull it out. Nobody can pull it out. And so it just like, and then the Tigers then made it to the Japan Series, and they won, and then the TV host said that the Tigers would never win again until the Colonel was rescued from the canal and cleaned of the sludge, and literally nobody took it seriously, except that then they didn't win another Central League title for another 18 years, and fans dove into the Dotonbori Canal again, and then somebody died. And so, like, yeah, and they were like, okay, so maybe the Colonel is taking this seriously. And then they didn't win. They didn't win the Japan Series that year. They finally pulled the statue out of the canal in, like, 2009, but it was broken into pieces, and they couldn't put the whole thing together.
Oh, my God!
So he's missing his arm. And, and so... And they end up like putting up this statue in the KFC home office. And, you know, they display this thing in front of Cochin Stadium. The Tigers finished in fourth place that year. In 2014, KFC moved it to the headquarters, and the Tigers made it to the Japan Series that year, but then they ultimately lost in like five games. And then anyway, this year for the Japan Series, they actually took it to all seven games. So they almost have the chance to like win everything at Cochin Stadium, which is where the Tigers play. And Yoshinobu Yamamoto shut them out, which took it to a game seven. And we were like, oh my gosh, like it's going to happen again. They're going to lose again. They're going to lose again. And they ended up winning in Osaka. So they have won. They defeated the curse of the Colonel. Everybody says the curse is broken now. They have now won the Japan Series. And they said that it would have been hilarious if, you know, they had been able to do that with the cardboard cutout of Colonel Sanders watching from the KFC in Cochin Stadium. But They took it to that game seven, and he did not get to watch or prevent the evil from happening again.
Oh, my God. I just want to know why they had a Colonel Sanders statue there in the first place. Like, it's not like...
Who doesn't love fried chicken?
Well, yeah, but it's not like at the KFCs in the United States they got Colonel Sanders statues. You know what I mean? I'm just saying it's not part of... No, but
they have a... They have Ronald McDonald's outside of...
Well, yes, McDonald's. That I would understand. That I would understand because I've seen that before. But right. I've never seen a Colonel Sanders statue at a KFC. I mean, I don't there go to go. KFC, but, you know.
It's well, just a dang shame they weren't able to win a few years back because then I could have made this really Cubs-related because there's our good friend there, Kosuke Fukudome, former captain of the Hanshin Tigers. And yeah, I had to make it Cubs related somehow.
I really love the idea that they're like just grab the statue of the old white guy because that's close enough.
Yes, like Randy Bass.
All those white people look the same. Throw it in the water.
I mean, look at that. Like just.
I mean, in that picture, Randy Bass does not. I mean, they almost had the same hairstyle, like that little, like kind of like page boy cut sort of thing going on. So I like what Joey says in the chat here. He says that he had the curse of Colonel Sanders one late night after eating a $5 box from KFC. Yeah, you eat KFC enough, you're going to have the curse of Colonel Sanders, let me tell you.
I never had that curse, but I am a little worried. I could be cursed because I shit in a canal.
That story on next week's Sanrando.
Let's save that one for the Discord.
Yeah. So I do want to drop a link in the chat.
Have I cursed?
For the Facebook event for the Cubs caroling, I've already been writing Cubs carols for the event. I just wrote Mastroboni in Another Loss about I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. And
that's delightful.
What was interesting is because I made this lyric made the lyrics here that when they play Mastroboni, the Cubs had a record of 27-33, which is true. But get this. When he starts, they have a winning record.
Yeah.
But it's like 18-17. It's like not, it's not like a, you know, it's not a much of a winning record.
It's a rounding error, Danny. Is it a rounding error?
Yeah, but either way, like I was making more fun of Mastroboni in the song. And then I was like, well, let me see if that's actually accurate. I don't want to be putting inaccuracies in my Cubsmas carols. So just so you know, all my Cubsmas carols are being fact checked by me.
Well, I drove
down. And you would never lie.
Not my last thing. Thursday, I drove down to Oklahoma to see my son perform at the halftime at the football game there. And on the drive down, Emily and I are cruising along, and she's just finding the most obscure like Christmas songs that she can find. And then we were trying to make up Cubsmas lyrics to it. And I'm pretty sure I am going to do Donde Este Santa Claus.
Yeah, I've heard it. I've seen that one in the books. Like,
yeah, so
that one made the Anglo books somehow.
I'm thinking Donde Este Chris Morel.
Donde Esta Chris Morel.
Donde Esta Chris Morel.
We've got to get a Canario line in there, too.
Well, you'll have a chance to win as long as you don't sing.
Yeah, no, my hope. Well.
It's very important.
What are you talking about, man? I sing like an angel. Or a demon. I don't know. Last year I rapped. So
yeah, you actually had a good showing last year, I believe.
But now I'm and I have actually done I did Feliz Navidad one year.
So yeah, this that was funny.
The second time I'm doing a Spanish language song.
Do you remember when Crawley he was so excited about his choice and it nobody liked it. He was so mad. He's like, I was working it all up. I was like, I don't know, man. You just didn't win. I don't know. People didn't like it. I don't know what to tell you. The competition is fierce out there. You know, I'm really looking forward to what John Jurgovan does.
Oh, my God. John Jurgovan does some stuff that is.
He'll never top the Rally Tits Lady song, though. I don't know if anybody's ever going to top that.
Yeah. Well, what was the one he did? I can't remember which song it was, but he was like, oh, that's not eggnog.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he just gets more. I'm actually kind of scared of what he's going to bring us this year. This is going to gross us out. I'm going to throw up.
Oh,
like,
no.
Like a marathon runner. So, yeah. So, anyway, join us for the Cubs competition and also the Cubs caroling on December 16th. I don't even think I said the date. We're going to meet in Wrigleyville and walk around and sing. It is fun. These flexing cubes, I do have a kind of a string of them. Who else has got something?
I have two.
What do you got, IFG?
Me? I flexed with the curse of the Colonel. Yeah. I can show you my 12, my Cubs.
Oh, the curse of the Colonel.
Since I can't go to Cubs Carol.
Yeah. Yeah. Give us some.
Well, but just because you can't go to Cubs caroling, do make a video, sing something and make a video.
Oh, okay.
And we do a whole show where we just watch all the videos. It's amazing.
Oh, then I'll TikTok it. Never mind.
Yeah.
I don't have any TFCs this week.
Yeah, you can enter. Like, Michael enters every year. I think I'm the only one that's, like, not allowed to enter.
Technically, my job is to show everyone it could be worse and to make them feel better about it makes everybody feel better, like, well, I'm not going to be as bad as Cotton.
Yeah, exactly. You set the bar, like, on the low end. So I got this. Cotton, you're going to love this, too, because this is about Boog. So congratulations to Boog. This comes from Jeff Agrest on Twitter. He says, congrats to Cubs TV voice John Ciambi, who won his first individual Emmy over the weekend at the Chicago Midwest Regional Emmy Awards.
Oh, my God. Could we parse it out any lower?
Yes, you can. Boog won. Boog is in quotes, by the way. Boog won for Outstanding Crafts Achievement. Wait, let me start again. Boog won for Outstanding Crafts Achievement for On-Camera Talent / sports analyst play-by-play.
What does that even
slash
mean?
Sneaker consultant.
Yeah, Outstanding Crafts Achievement. So I kind of like.
Is it because he's always at the craft services table?
I like what Travis said. Boog is great. I especially enjoyed his paper mache art this past season. And John Hanley, who's an amazing Cubs artist, says it's called the everyone gets an award generation and the acceptance of mediocrity in our society. Yay.
Oh, man.
But yeah, what the hell is that? Boog won for Outstanding Crafts Achievement.
Well, and it's,
I don't know what that means.
The Chicago Midwest Regional. Like,
A guy that I follow on Facebook or follows me, and I guess I worked with him, and he was, I don't know. But I saw that he won an Emmy, and I said to Nicole, I'm like, hey, you know, Mike won an Emmy or something like that. She's like, oh, yeah, it's the Chicago Midwest Regional Emmy. So I've known this for like a year or two that we have fake Chicago Emmys, which, by the way, I would like to win.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I deserve one for this show.
I mean, if I won a Chicago Midwest Emmy, I'd never shut up about it.
Exactly.
Yeah, but we're not a national sports announcer playing for one of the biggest teams in the league. Like,
you're right.
Right.
We're international.
Like, I won a poetry contest at the local library that I still talk about, but yeah, I'm being paid to do that every week.
Yeah.
So, well, congratulations to Boog anyway for his fake ass award.
Hold on.
Someone hear me congratulating me.
I got one here from Jeff. So I didn't have any Cubs related ones. I couldn't really find anything on the Cubs recently, but here's one from Jeff Passan that I think we should all check out. Jeff Passan says the Los Angeles Angels are hiring Ron Washington as their new manager. Sources tell ESPN. Washington, the former manager of the Texas Rangers and beloved longtime coach, now with Atlanta, gets another shit with the Angels. John Heyman was on it.
To be fair, John Heyman is also is often on the shit.
I just loved that he fucked that up. And then right after it, he's like, he's got another shit, and John Heyman was on it.
In my good friend Jeff Passan's defense, he broke his back, and he's probably on a lot of painkillers right now.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's more about Twitter not allowing anybody to edit still to this day, which is insane.
Well, you have to pay for it.
So if that's it, we need to give away a chance postcard.
Oh, I have one more. I thought you had more.
Oh, no, keep going.
No, that was it.
Okay, well, this one is about the Rockies. I enjoyed this one. So this is it's sort of a John Pincus worst case scenario type of a deal, but it would be a good scenario. Should the Colorado Rockies kill five of their players to trigger a disaster draft to improve their roster?
Oh my
God. Good night, everybody.
The MLB disaster draft is a contingency plan to be used when five or more players on a team have died or been dismembered.
You don't have to kill them. You just dismember them.
Yeah. In the draft, the team whose players
they define died, which member has to be dissed.
Exactly.
If you love your dick, they could still play.
The team whose players died will be able to draft the amount of players from other teams equivalent to how many they had lost. Other teams, though, are only allowed to protect five players from being drafted, but many teams have good bench players that are available. With the Rockies having bad contracts on underperforming stars such as Chris Bryant.
Oh, man.
But they could also just kill bullpen guys and bench warmers to fill out those five kills to the disaster draft, to get to the disaster draft. Also, according to Wikipedia, the team would also have a 16.5% chance to get the first pick in the next year's draft. Now, this next draft class is weak, so I could understand their hesitancy and being a repeat offender, that is, killing five players on your team on two separate occasions, oh my could God. Raise some eyebrows. But this could still greatly improve them. No doubt killing your players with bad contracts and then killing your bench warmers for occasional starters would greatly improve them and other teams. What do you guys think? And should any other teams do this? And who should they kill?
Oh my God. Okay, but theoretically.
Exactly, right?
What? Oh, no. Because the or dismembered is important. Okay, what if Chris Bryant, like under the table, like on the hush-hush, on the DL, on the down low, we give you another $30 million or another like $3 million. I don't know. What's a
pay to lose one? A foot or something?
We're just going to cut a little one.
A little pinky toe.
It won't even matter. You're not using it.
But you have to kill or dismember five players all at once.
Right. But well, like, what's a pinky worth? For one of these like bullpen pitchers who like they're gonna have 2 years left in the majors and then they're gonna go like sell real estate. They don't need 10 fingers for that.
Mordecai Three Finger Brown was a Hall of Fame pitcher.
I was like, hey, man, my name is Garcia 9¾, and I got $10 million to not play for the Rockies.
Yeah.
Here's another thing you could do. You could take that pinky, and you could graft it onto one of your other pitchers, like Antonio Alfonseca, who has 6 fingers on his hand.
And now he has 7.
Lucky.
Pitching for the Aguilas. So... That's freaking nuts, and I'm probably going to think about that all night.
How can you not? You're just like in your brain, you're just thinking about like, all right, so if the Cubs were going to kill five guys, five guys would we kill? And then who are we going to pick from the other teams?
Like
We're getting Ohtani, right? Because why would the Angels protect him?
Yeah, because then they'd have to pay him. Well, that was the old Angels.
Well, I guess that was the old Angels.
Yeah. So, all right, cool. Well, let's go over to Discord and hang out a little bit more. If anybody wants to go hang out over there, we will be there. So, that was fun. And we won't be back next week, but when we do come back, we'll be doing a lot of Cubs Miss Carols and having a good time. And thanks for everybody that tuned in. And
we will be around on the Discord channel all next week. I'm working all week, so I like to just have the Discord channel up on my other computer and chat with people. So if you, if anything does happen with the Cubs or any other bit of baseball, pop on there, talk to us. Like, it's been a little quiet at the end of the season now. There's no reason for that. We haven't shut up.
There is.
We haven't shut up. Please jump in there. Talk to him at work.
Michael Cotton's lonely. He needs friends. So Spagog.
Absolutely.
And Spagog. One last piece. I have to get out there. Shohei Ohtani.
It is time.
Time to be a Cub.
It is time to be a Cub.
Spagog, everybody.
Hug Watch, watching for hugs. All your favorite players getting traded from the Cubs. Hug Watch, watching for hugs. All your favorite players getting traded from the Cubs. Hug Watch. Hug Watch. Hug Watch, what do you got? Don't want to give up nothing, but you want to get a lot. Division contenders want to take all of the players. Well, they're filling up the system with a bunch of teenagers. Hug, watch, watching for hugs. All your favorite players getting traded from the Cubs. Hug, watch, watching for hugs. All your favorite players getting traded.
All right, we fucked up. We got to come back. We got to come back because we forgot to do chants. So I know you're all enjoying the song, but it's over.
thank you to Joey who put that in the chat to remind us.
Okay, so we're going. IFG already left, but that's okay. We can still do this. All right, where are we? Okay, here we go. We're drawing it, and then we'll put the song back on. And the winner is,
if it's Joey W, it'd be amazing.
Carrie Meyer, congratulations.
Oh, you have won.
You are entered to win the bag of goodies, and you just won yourself a Frank Chance postcard sent to you by me with a message of love and doom. Now here's back to the song.
Hug Watch, watching for hugs. All your favorite players getting traded from the Cubs. Hug Watch, watching for hugs. All your favorite players getting traded from the Cubs. Watch. Hug Watch. Hug Watch. What do you got? Don't want to give up nothing, but you want to get a lot. Division contenders want to take all of the players. Well, they're filling up the system with a bunch of teenagers. Hug Watch. Watching for hugs. All your favorite players getting traded from the Cubs. Hug Watch. Watching for hugs. All your favorite players getting traded from the Cubs. Hug Watch. Hug Watch. I was hoping that they'd offer you a new contract, but now the bullpen catcher's gonna help me pack. All the fans are sorry to see you go. Sayonara, arrivederci, au revoir, adios. We're singing hug, watch, watching for hugs. All your favorite players getting traded from the Cubs. Hug, watch, watching for hugs. All your favorite players getting traded from the Cubs. Hug, watch. We'll be right back.
to your career. The time went by so quickly, but say goodbye to Wrigley. Cause you can keep on playing, but you can't play here. Sing and hug, watch, watch it for hugs. All your favorite players getting traded from the dark.